We hear again a few of the words written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. In the name of Jesus. We can think of two men approaching a house. The first man has a tape rule, a level, a book of building regulations, and a legal pad. All the other tools of an inspector. The second man has a hammer, a saw, nails, and supplies. The house they approach is weathered and worn. The first man is an inspector. He's never built a house. He couldn't if he wanted to. He only knows how to speak of what's wrong. He puts his tape rule to the open cracks around the window frames. He says the windows will be torn out. The second man is a builder. He sees the same windows and makes plans for new framing wood and caulk. He will get to work on the building. The first man, the inspector, takes out his level and finds the doors all crooked. He assesses them to be junk. They will be torn out. You can't have broken doors. The second man, the builder, starts buying door jams and new hinges. He can't wait to start building. The first man counts the number of missing shingles. He assesses the roof hopeless. It will be torn down. The second man can't wait to start hauling new shingles up and replacing with a brand new roof. He loves building things up. Two men, the first measures and accounts and assesses, and the measuring of an old house will never bring good news. He can only assess to tear down. The second sees a house to which he can bring his gifts, which he can build up and strengthen, and he can't wait for the work to begin. In writing to the church, Paul uses the word build up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing. And the Greek word here for build up, in some of our translations it will use something like edify, but the Greek word actually has the word house in it. It's a verb with the word house in it. It's to build a house. As a noun, it's used to name a house builder. Paul then is giving us an image of what we are to one another. It's as if we're standing in front of a house with cracks and weaknesses, even dilapidated wood. We can approach to measure the problems and the damage. That's what the law does. The law makes assessments. It weighs and quantifies, finding what measures up, what doesn't. In the Catechism, we speak of the chief use of the law as a mirror before which the sinner stands to see every flaw. The law measures and quantifies. It finds problems and focuses on weaknesses. The law turns us all into inspectors and auditors, always ready to assess the weakness of another, what they've done wrong, what's just not quite being done right. By the law, nothing is built up. Nothing is given life. The law does not give gifts. The gospel does not measure and quantify. We might even say the gospel is terrible at math and is worthless for giving assessments, because the gospel is the giving of gifts, gifts in abundance, gifts without measure. As Paul says at Ephesians 4:7, to each one of us, grace is given according to the measure of Christ's gift. But what is the measure of Christ's gift? Christ gave himself fully, nothing left out. He didn't measure it out like in a measuring cup. He gave the fullness of his body and blood. He measures out nothing. He gave it all in the cross, on the cross in fullness. He gives it all to us in his body and blood, abundantly, without measure. The law, that's what inspects and measures and audits. And though the law is always right, it never builds up. The gospel gives gifts. Grace given abundantly and without measure. Sins forgiven. Listen to Jesus' math. We remember that. 7 times 70. That math makes no sense when you're counting sins. Jesus is giving a number that shows abundance that can't be tallied up. Beyond counting, the gospel builds up. From the law, it's accusation, tearing down, and finally death. By the gospel, it's sins forgiven. It's mercy spoken from one to another. It's building up and giving life. So from Paul, we get the word to encourage one another and build up one another. For Paul knows the times that the church is in. We are in that day, that age between the cross and the last day, that day between Christ's ascension and the day of his coming again to judge the living and the dead. In this time of waiting for our Lord's return, we live in a world that is witnessing its own demise. We are waiting for our Lord in a world that is going toward death. And this world then is becoming more aggravated as it tries to hang on to life. We're waiting in a world that is seesawing between, on the one hand, false confidence in the abilities of human progress, and on the other hand, despair. But as we wait, as those, Paul says, who belong not to the darkness but to the light, not to the night of gloom but to the daylight of hope, not to the drunkenness of a despairing man with no answers, but to those living in the light of day, having put on the breastplate of faith and the helmet of salvation. That's how Paul says we wait. So in a world of despair and tearing down and measuring out, we give abundantly, building up, and we speak hope. In a world of the fear of death, we build up, we speak life. In a world covered in shame, we announce the forgiveness of all sin and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comes bringing grace. We know the conversation of our world. It is, especially in these days, filled often with hopelessness and despair, with people then in aggravation taking sides and striking out. This world, it includes terrible statistics that we hear, even of young people despairing of life so much that they just want out, and the suicides go up. To this world, and to any person despairing of life, we speak of the Lord of life, the Lord who loves us so much that when he saw our sin and death, this death that we brought upon ourselves, he entered into our world to take that sin upon himself and to suffer that death on our behalf. He entered our world not to tear down, not to measure and find lacking, but to build up, to forgive guilt, to cleanse sinners, to bring life. Now, having taken all sin upon himself, having purified us with his own blood, he builds up us. He brings his gospel. He forgives our sin. And like a master builder, always about the business of building, he joins us together, piece by piece, brothers and sisters, as his church. We then build up one another, not because the law tells us to, for the law does not build up. It measures the sinner and finds lacking. We build up one another because we are members of Christ. We are his building, the church. He is the master builder. We are his building. And he, the master builder, is doing his work, not just to us in his gospel, but through us, which is his gift to our brothers and sisters, even as he uses us as his instruments. But it is all because Jesus has gathered us into the church and bound us together as one communion. That's baptism. Baptism, where he placed his name on us and called us his own. Baptism, where he cleansed us of all sin and joined us to himself, and therefore joined us to one another. Baptism, where we are rescued from the death of this world, from the judgment of the law, and brought into the life of Christ and into the abundant gifts of the gospel. This morning, in witnessing the baptism of little Kinley, we are given to see much more than our eyes can see. We are given to see Jesus building up his church. We are given to see another one given the holy name, brought into the church, that she is now one whom we are given to encourage and build up. Build up by speaking the proclamation of Christ crucified, by speaking the forgiveness of sins, by teaching all the things of the gospel which Jesus has authorized unto his church. And we are given to see one also who, though she is now so small, as she grows up, is given to speak the comfort of the gospel to us, building us up also with Christ's word of grace, which is, after all, in her name. And for all of us here, as we live in this world of doubt, this world of the false confidence in the progress of man, this world of despair, of anger and striking out, all of us here are given to rejoice in this gift of Christ, in bearing his name, so that, as Paul says, we are given to build up one another in the gospel. In the name of Jesus, amen.